everyone. This is Mike Quinsey connecting the light. My guest today is Nancy Lee. She's an author, a radio host and producer of Lights On with Nancy Lee. She's a professional intuitive coach. She's a member of different organizations. She's got other tags to her name, so I think that's sufficient for us to start. So I will welcome Nancy Lee onto the program. Are you there, Nancy?
Hi, Mike. I'm here, and I just couldn't be happier to join you today.
That's great. It's nice to have you here. I can certainly hear you nice and clear. I always like to start the program, in the case of someone like yourself with mediumistic abilities, to ask you, when did all this sort of start for you?
I remember as a child of three, walking around looking at, scenes that other people could not see. For instance, Indian encampments and various things that were interdimensional in nature. So I seem to have rather slipped through the cracks, if you will. They didn't train it out of me at an early age.
Right. So was it only Indians you saw, or as life progressed, did you see other entities and perhaps higher beings?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. You know, there's a process, though, of growing and attempting to fit into the world that you live in. And part of my process noted that in my particular culture, which was in the Deep South, in fundamentalist religion, that it wasn't really okay for me to express the things that I was seeing. I could tell that I was becoming dangerously close to having people capture me in some way.
Yeah.
So, you know, we shut down and we blend in, and then later in life, you know, it continues to push forward. But, you know, the ones who I have seen with my eyes open have been as varied as deceased loved ones and orbs of light and color. But with the eyes closed, that's where my much stronger, powerful vision comes in.
Oh, yes, yes. I'm interested in hearing you mention orbs of light, because I had a lady on the program not very long ago who not only saw them and photographed them in the dark, but she was also able to communicate with them. Now, what do you think the orbs of light are? What is your impression?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question.
You've spoken of orbs of light.
Yes.
I'm equating that with what a lady told me who was on the program quite recently, because she said she could see them, she photographed them, but also she could communicate with them, and they represented some form of intelligence. I wondered what your take was on that.
Well, I absolutely agree that these are forms of intelligence and life, and that if they are appearing to you, there's definitely a message, a reason, and something that you can either identify from what is being said, or you can simply ask the question, why are you here for me? What is the message? And then to allow that to come in quite brilliantly. Mike, I'm looking right now at a picture that I took in Denver, Colorado, of a sunflower field. And
yes.
Spirit compelled me to stop my car, get out, walk into the field, drop to the knees in the dirt. I was in a business suit, by the way, and
yes,
to take a picture. And upon development, it's an enormous orb of white light in the center, surrounded by pinks and roses, purples and blues. And
yes. Wow.
This being showed and came to me to essentially let me know that the heartache I was feeling at the particular time was really going to be okay, and that it was all in divine order and for the good, and that everything would be okay.
That's a very nice experience, I must say.
Yes.
Now, you tell us that you have past life recall of several of your own lives. When did that ability develop, that you were able to determine what you or who you had been in those lives? Did that happen in the early years, the same as your mediumistic ability surfaced?
No, I didn't actually understand what I was seeing much earlier. And beyond the natural abilities, I've spent literally decades in study and research and practice and so on. But, you know, I can't pinpoint a specific time. It's just that through some hypnotic regressions and through some recurring dreams and visions and different kinds of information that's been given to me, I would begin to piece together and understand that who I was actually watching was either myself or an aspect of my soul that was participating in those events.
Right. Mm-hmm. So do you feel that dreams for the average person might be the most likely source of them experiencing some moment from a previous life?
Well, I think there's a very good opportunity there because, number one, if they make the point to remember their dreams, number two, if they ask, is this a repetitive theme, and to use it as kind of an entry portal into cosmic mind, because most people are so busy in their day-to-day world that they're not really stopping to think about, oh, you know, am I reenacting something from my past soul experience or what? And so in dream time, we at least have the opportunity to truly give up the current visual reality and to allow other things in. So it's a very good tool to use.
Yeah. I often hear people say that they have a waking recollection of dreams, but within a very short time, the memory of it seems to have disappeared. Now, what can one do to try and overcome this problem of forgetting what you've dreamt?
Well, Mike, the only thing we can do, I think, is to write it down, because our brains are so full, and the thoughts and associations that literally bombard us in all of our waking moments really have a tendency to kind of carry things down the stream, and what you were thinking of maybe at 5 a.m. just isn't really front and center any longer. So very important to keep a dream journal, jot down notes from it before you forget so you can review them later. This is a very good technique.
Yes, yes. Now, I know obviously from my personal experience that there are different types of dreams. Some of them are absolute nonsense and seem to be a product of an uncontrolled mind. But others seem to have a quality or a feel about them that makes them seem different. Now, would you say there is any particular way of recognizing one that is actually a flashback to a previous life? I mean, how would you determine which was real or not?
Well, let me tell you what happened to me. I met a man. This was many years ago, okay?
Yes.
But when I met this man, I started having a dream of being, oh, goodness, in my later teen years, running in the woods, long brown cotton clothing, by myself, running. And the long and the short of this is I had the repetitive dream for probably, I would say, six times over the course of just maybe a month or two, but it was the same dream, and each time the dream showed me a little bit more of what happened,
yes.
A little bit more of the picture. And what I came to understand was this was actually in Tennessee in the 1800s. I was being, I'd been abandoned by my family somehow. I was lost, and I was being chased by one of the Native Americans through the woods, finally to a cliff, me thinking that I had somehow escaped, and yet I saw that I was, you know, quite trapped. Long and short, the one who was chasing me in the woods was the man I had met. I actually married him, moved to the woods in Tennessee with this man in this lifetime, and came to the place on the cliff where I had to understand what had actually happened. He did not kill me. I had actually jumped over the cliff myself, okay, in that sequence of dreams, which I didn't find out until into the marriage, But you see, you can have beneficial things coming into you, bits of knowledge that would be helpful to know, but you may not interpret them initially as to how they're going to be. But
yes.
The long and the short was having a way to be in this situation, to not kill myself, and to somehow find a harmonious resolution to that experience.
Yes.
So it was all very much driving me into a karmic healing with this particular individual.
That's an extremely interesting story. May I say, when you're talking of repetitive dreams, it's not something I've really experienced, but my mother often used to dream that she was in a very seedy type of prison cell, and the only light came from high up on a wall which she couldn't really reach. And it was a rather frightening dream, and she kept finding herself in the same cell all the time.
Yes.
So I guess for her that was a flashback to something she experienced.
Absolutely, yes. That feels like a soul memory that's just very, very vivid. They can come in dreams through meditation. We can tap into the visions of our soul history as well. And it depends on, what we perceive over time, as to how we will interpret this. I mean, if we see ourselves, running in a warlike state, we may or may not know if that is who we were or something we're witnessing. But over time, you can tell. And I think it's best not to rush to snap judgments on things. But to kind of feel the way it resonates with you internally, is there a message for you? Is there something that is very familiar, about your own
yes.
spirit trying to speak through you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking back, I can only recall one absolute dream that I had, which had a different feel about it. It's only a very short thing, so I'll just mention it to you. I found myself with being in a white robe, and the thing that struck me so powerfully was I was enveloped in a great feeling of love. I can't express it in any other way. It's intangible,
yeah.
But this being was showing me in a previous life, and my body was lying over the side of what I guess was a trench. But from this was in color, by the way, and
mm-hmm.
by the uniform I was wearing, I would say that I must have been a Confederate soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at it, and I said, "Why that?" And she said, "Nothing more than, well, that was the way it had to be." And then it went. It was about a two-second experience, but that very, very much impinged upon my consciousness. It was because of the different feel of it.
I'm getting chills all up and down my left side as you're speaking, by the way.
Yeah.
that's validation that comes to us in the form of, I like to call it psychic rain. But,
yeah.
Before you said, I was seeing you absolutely dream in color. And, but with you, it seems like it's like switching different channels. Like you'll look at a little bit of a thing and then you'll switch over to another one. And kind of see what draws your interest in this more subliminal state. And I have to think that maybe you actually do a lot of checking into your soul history when you are at rest.
Could well be, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all have a feeling about it if we believe in previous lives. Well, thank you for those comments. I mean, your own experiences are very interesting. I notice amongst your abilities, you talk of giving angelic guidance. Now, does that mean you've actually seen angels and you communicate with them?
Well, I see them. I communicate with them. But more importantly, I ask that they come in through me to do their work, particularly in the arena of healing, in comforting, in bringing forth messages. You know, I'm not really that smart, Mike.
You sound pretty good to me.
Well, what I know is that if I can get out of my own way and ask for the angels, the spirits, the guides, the guardians, whomever is there for the benefit of the other person, to let them speak, that, you know, it's a very wonderful experience to be used as a tool for the other side to express in this arena. So yes, I do it. I'm sure that you do it or can do it. I'm sure that our listeners, many, many, many of them, are tapping into angelic guidance, whether they're even aware of it or not.
Yeah.
You know,
go ahead. Yeah, I'm only going to ask you, do you get personal messages from your angel guides?
About what I need to do?
Yeah, anything.
At times.
You do, yeah.
But typically, I'm asking on behalf of others, and when I'm in my own quandary, I will do something as simple as, angels, come, angels, speak. You know, show me clearly. What am I looking at here? Or why does this feel bad to me? Or why, you know, do I not understand this? And I just speak very matter-of-factly to my spiritual assistants.
Yeah, no, I don't believe for one moment it has to be complicated.
No.
Do you think that we have several angels around us, or is there one particular one?
I think that we have legions. You know, we have like our best friends, we have the second tier, we have the unlimited numbers of angels and hosts who will accompany and assist if we ask them to or if we open to them. So it's very much like being in the physical world. We can associate with as many or as few as we choose to, but everyone absolutely is seen by spirit, is very much in conscious mind, and can call for help just by asking.
Yes. Your knowledge and understanding of that, I'm sure, goes a long way to enabling you to bring out the people part of what your main message is, and that is to bring them home. Because if they know they have these angelic presences around them that they can call upon, I should think that is very encouraging, isn't it, for a start?
Well, it is my desire, and even with the title of my show, Lights On, it's about turning on the inner light, the inner knowing, shining the light on the darkness, bringing all of that to the forefront for each and every individual, for everyone, not just for the chosen few who are particularly gifted in some way, but for everyone, and to understand that they have help and they're not alone. And no matter what the situation is, they have options, and they have options that can create a more positive outcome if they will only choose those positive outcomes for self.
Yeah. Well, I can certainly vouch for that, because I've had a number of what I believe were angelic experiences, but there was one particular one where I did a silly thing. I put a big, massive pot of emulsion paint on an ordinary chair, you know, sort of an ordinary one that you'd find at a table, so it wasn't very sturdy. And I also got on the chair and I was painting the ceiling, and I kept reaching forward and forward, further and further, and suddenly I knew that I was falling. And in that split second I thought, oh my goodness, this is going to be awful. I could imagine all the paint all over the carpet, notwithstanding the fact that I was falling forward and imagining what a shock and injury I was going to get. But believe it or not, the next second, I was on the carpet. I hadn't hurt myself. I hadn't any feeling of having fallen. I had the paintbrush in my hand, and there wasn't a spot of paint on the carpet, and the chair that I was falling off was still standing there with the paint pot on it. And I thought, thank you. They obviously eased me down very gently, and I don't know how they did it. Well, that was wonderful. I was very grateful. I would have got into real trouble with my wife otherwise.
Well, Mike, you know, I wonder how people can think they even get through day-to-day life without the assistance, because, you know, many people have accidents, but if we can have any idea of all of the accidents that are averted by guidance and help, and simply, whoops, move a bit to the right, or duck a little bit here, or just allow yourself to be caught, you know, I just think it's such an amazing thing for you. It's did you feel like you were in slow motion almost?
Oh, absolutely, yes. It was almost as though time stood still just for a second.
Yes. Talk
absolutely,
about being in the now.
And you're talking about things that have happened that we're literally unaware of, where they have saved us from trouble. I can again relate to that, because not too many years ago, I went to step off the curb on the bend of a road, and for some reason, I thought the buses were coming in the opposite direction, and I looked in the opposite direction, and it was clear. And I went to step off the road, and the bus was coming from the other direction. I just twisted round on the spot where I put my foot out to go and step into the road. The next minute, I was facing the other way, stepping in the opposite direction. And I would say that had I stepped into the road, I probably would have been killed. The bus was that near.
It was not your time, was it?
No, thank goodness.
No.
Well, I'm even glad it wasn't my time to have a serious injury. they have worked hard to keep me going. I'm absolutely positive of that. But they're very interesting experiences. Yes, I think once we acknowledge the angel presence, we begin to see and understand how they work with us.
Well, I totally agree, and I'm sure that you have been encouraging people for a long time to listen to their inner guidance and to ask for spiritual assistance and to pray and to meditate and to intention the highest and best for all concerned, because...
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, let me tell the listeners that the subjects we're talking about here are those that you include in your sessions, and one of them is medical intuition. Now, that is something I'd like to know about. Is that, again, intuitive from your mind, or are you being helped?
Well, number one, let me say that I can get into a lot of trouble by talking about this, so I'm going to just express what I do, okay? But with the permission of the person that I am reading, I'll say, is it okay if I look at your body, if I look at your energy field? And of course, they say yes, because that's what they're there for, you know. And so I just tune my internal vision and do what I would call a body scan. Okay, I just look at the different layers of the physical body. I have a bit of a checklist that I start checking for different things that may be present in the body. Unless I initially see some kind of darkness or blockage or inflammation or, you know, something that alerts me to a particular organ or area of the body, and then I look at it more closely, okay? I do not diagnose. Let me be clear on that. But what I can do, and I'll say that I'm seeing some blocked energy in a particular area of the body, and with your permission, may I send light into that area and see it in its perfected state, okay?
Yeah.
And then frequently there will be the situation that I will say, you know, it's really time that you get in, you know, for your checkup, or you go ahead and attend to something to do with the colon or the heart, you know, or to point out something that they just need to go and have checked.
Yes, yes.
You know, because it's very much a complicated situation, one's health and how they address it. But I can sometimes see the blocked energy and alleviate that on the spot. And then at other times, you know, it's something that they've got to go on a different journey with through either traditional medical therapies or natural remedies or, you know, whatever their choices are. I, for one, like to use a combination. You know, when I was going through the cancer experience, I wanted natural, I wanted traditional, I wanted, you know, everyone who could possibly assist me in getting through, including, you know, the psychological and emotional implications of what in the world was going on with me, you know, because I just truly wanted to live.
Yeah,
and I think you have to really be open to how healing can come in for you. But yes, we can all kind of direct our intuitive, our third eye, as sort of a flashlight, if you will, into another person's body and just see what's going on there.
Yes, yes. This type of work that you do, is that outside of your program, Lights On with Nancy Lee, or is that something you do through your talk radio show as well?
Well, let me just say that for 7.5 years, I did 1 hour of interview and 1 hour of call-ins.
All right.
And from the call-ins, I would do the readings and the session work and so on over the air. But in more recent years, I simply do the interviews over the air. And then in my private practice work or group sessions, you know, that's where I do the psychic healing work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It would seem to make more sense, possibly, that you actually do it in the presence of the person. But I know some people are not concerned about distance or the person being there. Now,
well, I think they enjoy it more if you're in person, but I don't really, it doesn't really matter to me, you know, where they are, because typically I just close my eyes and have the conversation. That doesn't really matter, you know, where they're sitting or standing or on even which side of the veil, you know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you about another subject that comes up in your sessions, and that is to do with multi-dimensional connections. Now, I find that very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Does that include extraterrestrials?
Yes, it does.
Tell us a bit about that.
I'm sorry?
Tell us a bit about that, you know, what experiences you've had.
Well, number one, I don't specifically call them to me.
I say, Nancy, if I can just ask you to hold a minute. We do actually have a caller.
Okay.
So since they're on, we'll take the call. It's possibly addressed to you. So we'll say we're ready for that and see if it comes through.
Okay. Hello? Hello?
Yes, hi. I was wondering if I could get a health reading from you.
Hi, who am I speaking with? First name only.
Dawn.
I'm sorry?
Dawn.
Yawn?
Dawn, D-A-W-N, like the morning.
Dawn, thank you. I have to ask forgiveness on my hearing today, okay? Yes, and what would you like for me to look at for you?
I just want to see if you see anything or what you generally see.
Well, just the first thing that pops in is in your abdominal area, seeing some congestion in that area that feels like it just needs to be cleansed and more attention paid to nutritional factors and things that would need to be eliminated from your body, toxicity-wise.
Do you have any suggestions?
Well, goodness, let's see. There are all kinds of colon cleanses and things of that nature. I personally, what I use is something called holy tea, which detoxifies many of the organs of the body. And if you want to check on my website at nancylee.net, there's more information there. But it's just a really good all-around detoxifier. And I think I mentioned earlier, I had been through the cancer experience, including chemotherapy and all of the very toxic things that were used at that time. And yet my liver, I'm told, is very, very clear and clean, as if I had never even been through the process. And other than spiritual
Nancy,
work...
Nancy, I listen to you on HealthyLife.net.
Yes.
You're that Nancy Lee, aren't you?
I am.
You have a very good program.
Why, thank you. Thank you so much, and I appreciate the plug. Honest, I did not call her and ask her to do this. It's Lights On with Nancy Lee, and it is on the Healthy Life Network, and the website is nancylee.net or healthylife.net.
And that's fine.
Okay,
thank you all for your questions.
Work.
And thank
yes.
you, Nancy, for dealing
care.
With that so promptly.
Certainly.
So, no sooner did I ask you the question about whether you did it on your radio show, you had a call in.
Well,
so,
you know, it's
now,
interesting.
Yeah, I was asking you about the multidimensional connection, so... tell us something that you've experienced on that level.
Okay, Mike. Well, you're just not going to let me get away with anything today. So for about 6 months, I kept getting the prompting, go to Sedona, go to Sedona, you must go to Sedona, okay? So finally I went to Sedona, and I took my sister with me. She's very astute and involved in spiritual matters and so on as well. So we have great times together when we travel. But the point is this. On our first night there, and we were sharing a room, and I say that because this thing happened to me and it did not happen to her, but I was awakened in the night in this really severe pain in my abdomen, in the right side of my abdomen. And in fact, when I opened my eyes, I saw three beings over me, and one of them had, I'll say, his hands in my abdomen. And it was the most horrific feeling because, number one, it was extremely painful, and number two, I could not scream, although I could kind of see that my sister was sleeping beside me. And there was something that was being performed on me at that time that I had absolutely no control over. And I will tell you that I felt very betrayed. I felt really angry, and I felt as if I had been set up in some way. And so I had a real problem with spirit for a while. Like, what? You tell me to do
yeah.
this, and I go into this, and this happens to me. How can you do this? So... anyway, I was in a process of trying to deal with that off and on over the course of about 2 years, actually. I mean, it kept coming up, and I kept thinking, I don't get it. You're not telling me what this is about. So one day I was just sitting at my computer, and Mike, I know you've got a lot of books. Well, I do,
yeah.
too. Books are everywhere. Okay, so I'm at my computer.
Yeah,
and
you're
one,
right.
Yes, one book fell off my shelf, onto my keyboard, into my hands. Pardon me, and you may know this author. I think she has a show on the BBS as well, Dolores Cannon.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Okay. One
Lovely
of her
one.
Books fell into my hands. I opened it, you know how we do, just where
yeah.
it opens, and I got this entire discourse on, can I just say anything here? Is your show wide
yeah.
open?
Yeah.
It was talking about how we make these contracts to seed other races in different dimensions, and that, of course, while we are here in this physical state, we cannot understand that part of our being here is to wear the human physicality. So part of that can actually be used in another area. And, Mike, I can't believe the relief that I felt over that, because I understood a lot of the deep longing that I've had in my life, kind of like I've been missing someone and I didn't know where they were or even who it was.
Yes.
I came to understand that I had, let's just say, some of my DNA growing in another
yes.
area, and that I had children in a complete other area who had perhaps the best of me, I hope so, and the best of those who were working with me, you know, in that other area, to have this whole other race being created. So
yes.
it has been an understanding that we can't always know consciously what we are doing. What were we thinking? How can this happen? How can something that feels bad or looks bad actually not be bad? And yet later, when we are given the wisdom and the understanding, because, you know, if you read the truth or you hear the truth, it absolutely does ring true. That's a very honest statement. And so when the truth is told to us and we accept that, then we realize that, you know, we've had our blinders on for many, many reasons. But part of it is we just can't possibly know the vastness with which we are dealing at all times.
Yes, yes. Indeed, I would think if we knew too much, that would distract us from what we should be doing whilst we're down here.
Yes, sir. We would be immobilized, I think.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these beings, the three beings that came to you, could you describe them at all?
Well, they had the rather elongated heads and the very large almond eyes, and the skin gave me the sense of scales, but it didn't really, you know, I couldn't see individual scales, but I just had that sense of it perhaps being scaly, sense, okay?
Yes.
And, you know, I don't know if they were brown per se, but they were rather in the, they were not the pale gray, but they were more in the brown arena. And my sense is that there were two males and one female, although they looked quite the same.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I would only hazard a guess myself that they may have been Ceta reticulans, but has anybody tried to identify them for you?
No, I haven't actually gone to anyone else with that. This is breaking news right here on your show.
Right. Now, you mentioned Dolores Cannon. It's funny, actually, because just in the last week, I've ordered her latest book.
Oh, well, I just love her work. I really do.
I haven't got every book, but I have about 7 out of the 9, I think, that she's been the author of, and I just love the information that comes from her.
Yes, I totally agree.
Yeah, well, that's interesting, and my gosh, you've certainly had some experiences. I don't know how you have time for a normal human life.
Well, Mike, you know, I do. I have children, I have grandchildren, I have dogs. You know,
I
carry on in a normal way. I go to the grocery store, and I do use my energetic frequency knowledge to pick out the best produce, I might add.
Yeah, you're cheating. I have to say, I did wonder whether you sell holy tea to the Holy Ghost.
Well, I don't think I would sell it to the Holy Ghost, but, I feel that I love saying the word holy. And, of course, that word comes from the holy thistle. And all I know is that it's just an excellent combination. And I just love everything that reminds me about holiness and purity and expansiveness. And, you know, we're just so much more than we think. You know,
right.
They're such a part of everything.
Now, in amongst the other items or subjects of your sessions, I don't know whether this is a slight misprint on your web, but you've got one item that reads missions persons. But is that meant to be missing persons?
Oh, well, yes, I have done missing persons, yes.
Oh, right, well, I was going to ask you...
Is it misspelled on my site?
Yes, it is, yes.
Well, I must get to my web person then.
Yeah, you will.
Yes.
So what I wanted to ask you is, how do you locate them, and are you necessarily allowed to? Because perhaps some people go missing and they're not meant to be found.
Well, here's the thing. If a family member calls me and asks me specifically if I can get any information about their loved one, then I will look and see if I can connect with the spirit of that person. Now, I don't ever do that without specific request, because quite honestly, it is very painful to me personally to engage in the kind of energy that happens to people in certain circumstances, you understand, when they have been captured and taken and those kinds of things. So unless there's something I can actually do to assist, I will not go there. But basically, what I do when I try to connect with anyone, and this works with pets or any kind of life form, is, you know, I just ask for the presence of that person to connect with me. You know, it's just something that I do, and then I can tap into the stream of consciousness that the person is having. If the person is deceased, sometimes they don't know that they are, which is a little bit confusing. If they are still in a body and in a situation where they're needing someone to help them there, then unfortunately I don't always see street signs. But, you know, I can see directions. You know, it's always different. And I know that if people are not supposed to be found, then I won't be given that information.
No,
because
no,
I always, yes, it's a non-interference policy, but at the same time, if I'm here to be an instrument of help, please show me and tell me what I need to do to help this family or to give them what they need from me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, there is a mention on your website of channeled messages. Do you actually take messages yourself, which you publish?
Well, actually, in my book, Awakening the Mystic, there are about 10 chapters of channeled messages.
All right.
That is whittled down from many, 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 many hundreds of pages of channeling.
Yeah.
And lately, I don't actually attempt to sit and ask for channelings to come in, but when I'm in session, very frequently messages will pop in that do just channel through anyway. You know, if it's a part of the process of what I'm doing for someone, that's fine. You know, it's just kind of like past life regression.
Yes.
Once you've discovered it and explored it for a while, then you just move on, you know. I mean, you can be enamored with rocks and stones and crystals,
yes,
you know, for a time, and you study it and learn it, and then you move on to something else. And so channeling per se is a very interesting thing, and I would only suggest to people who want to try it that they become very clear with their intention. And, for instance, I ask that only the highest levels of healing, love, and light will come in for me informationally, and I forbid that anything manipulative or negative will come in.
Yes, yes.
Although, give me the truth, but keep any manipulation out of this, okay? And
yes.
Then you have to trust. But be very clear, because there are a lot of entities who would love to come in and just kind of have a voice who aren't really going to be necessarily helpful to the situation or to the person.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You've got to get the request put over to them in the right way, otherwise you may get people coming through that you don't really want.
Right, and we don't need any misinformation.
Right.
So it's a great, wonderful, amazing world, and when I say world, I mean the vastness of the universal forces, you know, of which we are such a tiny, tiny, but I think very important part. You know, Micah, I feel strongly that we come to this world to learn how to love.
Yes.
We come to learn how to love ourselves and each other. And, you know, as a species, we're not doing such a good job of it so far. So that must be why we're still here trying to learn it.
I'm sure you're correct on that. I would go along with that idea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're a lady of many talents by the sound of it, because I see also listed you have sound therapy. Is that something you do yourself?
Well, yes. I have chimes and bells and tuning forks, and sometimes I simply instruct the person to do some toning at a particular level to help break through barriers. It's very interesting what we can do with voice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you teach people how to do that themselves?
You know, I teach classes when I have time, and
yes.
Typically in a class that I will teach, we definitely get into sound therapy to some extent, but it's typically a part of another kind of lesson. For instance, we might use sound to clear blocks that have to do with, let's just say, maybe abandonment issues or feelings of unworthiness, or, you know, whatever the group issue might be that's up for clearing at that particular time.
Yeah.
And then I just ask for the level of sound or tone that we can, as a group, participate in that will help shift that frequency or that blockage. And it's just amazing what we can do quite naturally, just as human beings, you know, with our particular senses and abilities.
Mm. I notice you also have energy balancing. Is that to do with balancing the chakras?
Well, it is. And the other thing is, you know, often people pick up, I'll just call it goo. You know what goo is? Sometimes goo comes in and sticks to the energy field of another person, and we like to just clear all of that out and give them kind of a clear, sacred space to thrive in once more. You know, it's like taking a spiritual shower, if you will. But yes, chakra work is, you know, that's often the first area where a person's, you know, it's kind of a list of priorities, you know, 1 to 20 or 1 to 100 or however many things are going to want to come up. But frequently, the energy or lack of energy in the chakra areas, you know, is an immediate indicator of what needs to be worked on first.
Right. So people coming to you for a private session actually select which subject they want you to work on with them. Is that how it goes?
Well, I can say, how much time do you want to come for? And they say, oh, how much time do I need? And although the answer might be 2 days or 3 weeks, you know, we say, well, why don't we try an hour, okay? I'll say, you can come with your list of issues or questions, and I will just allow you to ask them, and we'll just kind of, you know, go through them top to bottom. Or typically what they end up wanting me to do is to connect to their energy and to tell them what's coming up first. And
right.
I try to have time to both flow the natural part of the session, that is the reading that comes to me first, and then if we haven't covered all of their questions, then they ask those as well. But typically, by the end of the session, everything has come up anyway.
Yeah. It might be a good time for you to confirm the website address where people can go to find out these details.
Well, thank you. It's just my name. It's Nancy Lee. That's Nancy L-E-E dot net. NancyLee.net. Very simple. You know, I'm there. You can get my books through Amazon.com. They are Voices of Light, Conversations on the New Spirituality, and Awakening the Mystic, Adventures in Living from the Heart.
Yes, brilliant. And I know that if people come onto your website, they can obtain your telephone number if they want to give you a ring and have a private session.
Absolutely. My phone number is not hidden. It is 970-472-9104.
Yes, that's fine. I want you to get these little bits in to give you a plug because I've got about 3 or 4 minutes left and I have to use up a couple of minutes to just to tell our listeners who I've got coming along next week. I could have asked you a whole series of questions in addition to what I've asked you, but have you got any message for our listeners, any pearl of wisdom that you could pass on to them?
Well, Mike, thanks for asking, because I really want to take this opportunity to remind everyone that no matter what they see going on in the outside world, that they always have the option to choose a more positive response, a more positive idea of what the outcome can be. I feel that it's so important that we not give in to the fear, that we maintain a feeling of love, hope, and inspiration about just what we're doing in this life experience, and to understand that we are all in it together.
Yes, yes. I will certainly endorse what you said there about the fear aspect, because if we do that, we're simply feeding the negative energies, and rather than doing anything to remove their power, we're adding to it. It's the same, isn't it, as if we get angry or upset with something that's happening. It's a natural response, perhaps, but we don't realize that we're actually feeding the very energy that we dislike.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Mike, thank you. I've enjoyed being on your show today.
Well, it's been extremely interesting talking to you. I don't know where the time has gone. you're certainly very versatile, and you certainly know what you're talking about. And I think you're extremely experienced and a very wise person in what you say. So thank you very much for coming on to the show.
Thank you, Mike. Talk to you soon.
I think maybe I get booked up a long way ahead. But you're certainly one guest I would like to think in terms of having back sometime in the future, which would be next year now.
I would love that.
But yes, so I'll have to get in touch with you again. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike.
I will write up the archives and put your website address on it in case anybody's didn't get the address written down. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike.
For my listeners, next week I have Ali Thies, who is a columnist of a column called Ask Ali. She offers spiritual wellness through psychic readings, also sexual advice, and she runs empowerment classes and coaching. She's the author of Gypsy Magic for the Soul, so she sounds a very interesting person. So I hope you can be with me, and thank you very much for being with me today. God bless you all.